From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, November 16th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The total number of cases of COVID-19 reported to the Maine CDC since the start of the pandemic has surpassed 9,000. With 173 new cases reported today, the cumulative total is now 9,117. More than 2,000 cases are active. 165 people have died. The director of the Maine CDC, Dr. Nirav Shah, says the agency has opened 14 outbreak investigations of COVID-19 in the past 72 hours. The outbreaks span the state and center around workplaces, nursing homes, healthcare facilities, social clubs, and schools.
The pot is starting to boil over, and the bubbles are coming up everywhere.
Shah says community transmission is driving the outbreaks, along with spotty use of face masks. St. Joseph's College in Standish is abandoning on-campus learning after 12 of its students tested positive for COVID-19. The college says that it plans to test all students before they leave. President-elect Joe Biden's considering Maine Senator Angus King to serve as his director of national intelligence. King, an independent who caucuses with Democrats, serves on the Senate Intelligence and Armed Services Committees. Politico first reported that King had been approached by Biden transition officials. His office confirmed the report. If he were to take the position, that would leave an open Senate seat in Maine. That's King's office, which confirmed that report. And administrators at the University of Maine system say they plan to continue with controversial changes to retiree health care, despite complaints from dozens of employees at a board meeting today. The new plan, announced in September, would transition about 3,000 retirees from a group plan and provide them instead with a stipend to choose a plan from a health insurance exchange. Lori Cartier, an administrative specialist at the University of Maine, says she had planned to retire next year, but may now hold off as the new plan could force her to pay significantly more for needed procedures.
Now, I am very concerned about what my prospects will be for health insurance. I am feeling that the security of my years at UMaine are jeopardized.
At the meeting, system administrators said they plan to continue with the plan changes, but will also hire an ombudsman to make sure that issues with the new system are addressed. In a letter to state legislators in September, System Chancellor Daniel Malloy said the change would save the system more than $2.5 million and give retirees more choices and flexibility. Looking at weather tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies with more clouds and some snow showers north in mountains. Overnight lows in the mid-20s to the mid-30s. The state CDC today announced an outbreak of COVID-19 at the Tabernacle of the Congregation Church in Sweden, the most recent in a handful of investigations involving houses of worship. Churches at the center of outbreaks tend to shy away from the public scrutiny they face in these instances. Some are defiant, but as Patty White reports, at least one Maine church has decided to take a very open approach to the outbreak in its midst.
When the state CDC announced an outbreak at the Calvary Baptist Church in Sanford this summer, Pastor Todd Bell took to the pulpit the next day for in-person service, where he railed against the state for intervening in the church's affairs.
You're looking at a liberty lover. I love liberty, and I want the people of God to enjoy liberty.
Bell told his congregation that wearing masks was like trying to keep out a mosquito with a chain-link fence. His response drew fierce criticism and national media attention. The outbreak is now closed, but six other churches currently have outbreaks.
It's been kind of a crazy week.
That's Pastor Matt Burden of the Second Baptist Church in Callis, speaking in a Facebook video posted from his home in October.
Some of you may have already heard what's going on, why this is sort of a crazy week. We have had a few cases of confirmed positive coronavirus pop up amongst some of our church people.
The Second Baptist Church had already suspended in-person services the week before when someone indirectly associated with the church tested positive. Now, there were cases among Burden's congregation.
We certainly would want to recommend anyone from our church family who's experiencing any kind of symptoms or anything like that, please isolate, get yourself tested.
This may seem like the natural thing to do, to openly disclose cases in a community setting, such as a church, and ask people to take precautions. But Burden says the temptation to keep the situation under wraps is strong.
It would have been a lot easier road for me if I hadn't opened my mouth so much.
Opening up about the outbreak put the church under a magnifying glass, and urging members of the congregation to get tested meant that more COVID-19 cases would likely be discovered and associated with the church. In all, the Maine CDC has linked 27 cases to the Second Baptist Church. It's the second largest church outbreak in the state. Burden says the situation has been especially disheartening because he had implemented safety precautions.
And to be honest, it was really hard. We were in an area that was not hard hit by the coronavirus for most of the summer, the early fall, and we were among the most cautious institutions in town. Even amongst my own congregation, you know, people have been very supportive. They're willing to play by the rules, but there was a feeling amongst some people that, why are we doing all this stuff?
The church offered two services to limit crowd size. They roped off pews for distancing. Burden says he recommended, though didn't require, his congregation to wear masks during services. People wore masks while coming and going, which until recently did align with state reopening guidelines. Of the 200-plus outbreaks of COVID-19 that Maine has seen so far, churches account for just a fraction. But CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says epidemiologically, they are of special concern.
Some of the things that can generate COVID-19 are literally the reasons you go to church for. Fellowship, close camaraderie, singing.
When outbreaks do erupt in a house of worship, Shah says it requires a more deft response from the state compared to outbreaks that originate in other settings.
I think it's safe to say that for the past, 2,000 to 3,000 years, those who attend different houses of worship have felt besieged, no matter what your faith.
So when the CDC investigates an outbreak, Shah says, building trust is the biggest challenge.
I don't at all fault people for being hesitant or reticent about sharing. It's my job to build that trust, to convince them that sharing who they were at service with will be used for good.
Pastor Matt Burden says his church decided to be transparent for the good of the community, but he understands why other churches don't open up.
A sense that communities are singling them out for blame in a way that other institutions aren't. So I'm very sympathetic to the way that a lot of other churches are trying to wrestle with this, and it's not an easy thing.
Pointing fingers, Burden says, discourages others from disclosing positive cases. He gives frequent updates on the outbreak in Facebook posts and says his transparency has yielded some positive attention. He says several pastors have called to offer support and some have asked how they can avoid an outbreak.
It's an interesting call to take from someone who wants to know how not to end up like you. But I understand where they're coming from, right? Nobody wants to end up as the headline of an outbreak.
Burden says he encourages them to follow updated safety guidelines and wear masks. And if the worst does happen, he says, get the word out quickly and trust God to handle the rest. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The number of people in Portland city shelters has increased dramatically, with the city reporting 539 people in shelter as of a week ago. City officials say they are doing all they can to accommodate those in need and are working to get new shelter beds opened up and renting hotel rooms. Advocates for the homeless say the current spike comes as no surprise. Mark Swan's been with the Portland Homeless Services Agency Preble Street for decades, and he says there are some moments when he and his colleagues know that people are struggling to stay in their homes.
Often it's the food programs that see the increases first, because it's people desperately trying to pay their rent. So they scrimp with food and they come to pantries and soup kitchens before they can't make the rent.
And he says Preble Street's food programs have been swamped over the last few months.
We've been expecting this, frankly.
That's because the pandemic recession has made people's financial lives more precarious and increased the likelihood that they'll have to use shelter services. And city spokesperson Jessica Grandin says that public health concerns have added challenging limitations at its city shelter, Oxford Street.
Given COVID and the spacing requirements that we have to have, so obviously the capacity at Oxford Street is lower than it normally would be. And so they've been working, very diligently to make sure that there's enough other options available.
Those options include hotel rooms where about 250 people were staying as of last week, and an ongoing effort to repurpose a vacant county correctional building that the city calls Joyce House, but which opponents call a jail. The city is hoping to use that as a temporary shelter to replace one in the Portland Expo, which closed just before the election. Gronin says it's just one possible part of the plan to get people indoors before winter.
We've made a commitment to providing emergency shelter for folks, and you know, our staff continue to do that each and every day.
Meanwhile, Preble Street has been trying since July to get permission to convert its day center, which is closed during the pandemic, into a 40-bed shelter. That is meeting with neighborhood opposition and a lengthy delay, which Mark Swan says is understandable, though possibly misguided.
I think the opposition we're facing here, honestly, I think is really nothing to do with Preble Street. It's frustration on a broken and strained shelter system that's been in place for a long, long time in Portland. And I think Preble Street is the easy target there for all kinds of issues, whether it's the opioid crisis, the gentrification of Portland, the affordable housing crisis, the lack of health care.
But Swan says when and if the shelter is approved, his organization is ready to get it up and running in just a few weeks. And Grondin says the city still has spaces it can use and is doing as much as it can to make sure that people have a place to go this winter. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Maine Calling at 11. I'm Nora Flaherty.